Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And now we're going to talk to the brand new pitching coach of the New York Yankees. Boy, what a way to start a year your career as a pitching coach. And that, of course, is Matt Blake. Hi, Matt. It's Susan and Howie here in New York. How are you?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey, Matt.
Doing well.
Okay. So there you are in spring training. It's your first pitching coach job, and you're getting to know all of us. You explained to me what a Rapsodo machine is. We did it all perfectly. You're getting to know everybody, and then it's gone. Now, forgetting everything except baseball for 1 second, what do you do? Because you're getting people on schedules. You're looking at people. What happens to all your plans as a brand new pitching coach with all these kids?
Yeah, you obviously throw them out the window at that point. The hard part, too, is we didn't know how long it was going to be because originally it was 2 weeks, so guys kind of had to idle a little bit, and then the reality was it was not going to be 2 weeks. So, you know, we're trying to get guys to figure out how to settle in and, you know, really adjust the plans for the next couple months to kind of keep guys in somewhat ready shape in case we start back up, but not really knowing a timeline or a day to, you know, to program for. It was kind of just, you know, flexible in that sense. So it was definitely an interesting experience to go through.
Well, I know Yankee fans ought to take comfort in one thing in particular, that even though Matt might be, you know, somewhat of an unknown commodity across Major League Baseball and certainly with the Yankees, one guy who loves you is Trevor Bauer. And if you can keep Bauer happy, you're doing a pretty good job. So how did that relationship coexist?
I think we both valued objective information, and so we could relate around, you know, trying to stick to the science of pitching. And, you know, I let him have his own personal opinions, you know, away from our conversations, and didn't let that bother me. And I think he valued that in our relationship. So I think we kind of just stuck to pitching and, you know, things around that. And I think just valuing just all the tools that are available to us to, you know, help pitchers get better.
You know, and Matt, I don't know if you know this, Howie, but Matt, when he was at a Holy Cross, was actually a philosophy and psychology major along with playing. And I'm kind of wondering, because you are at the, you know, one of these people that at the forefront with all of the metrics that go on and the different machines that you now use. But I would imagine the psychology and philosophy is part of it. Was there a point in your college career when you were playing that you thought, if I can put this all together, maybe there's something there? When did that all happen? Because you have to have both. You just can't be a numbers and machine person. You have to be able to to infiltrate other people's minds. People are not the same, and you have to be able to do that. Was there a point where you thought, you know, there's something to this integration of all of these things?
Yeah, I think as I was playing in college, the writing was on the wall that I was not going to be a major league player. So I was thinking, like, you know, what are the next steps? And my background being in psychology and philosophy, I thought I related to people well and kind of understood kind of some of the things that might have made them tick or how they, you know, encountered information. And I think for me, it was navigating to the other side that, you know, I didn't necessarily have a math background or a stats background, but my dad is a mechanical engineer. So I kind of leaned on him in terms of how he approaches problems. And we kind of just started talking through, you know, pitching delivery and the science involved and, you know, kind of learning more about the body. And that's where actually I met Eric Cressy and kind of, you know, really dove into a lot of the, you know, anatomy text and, you know, built on what he was doing. And then when I got to Cleveland, obviously they're very analytically driven and just kind of leaned on a lot of the people there. So I think just trying to piece it all together as I went with my, you know, background in social sciences is kind of the backbone of it all, and kind of adding the other pieces as I went.
What do you expect then maybe you have a handle on it already, because there was a now truncated original spring training period. But, you know, you're succeeding. Clearly an old school guy, Larry Rothschild, a basically career pitching coach. And now that you are more of this new age genre, what kind of difference did you sense in the way you might have been received by pitchers who had been used to doing it one old school way, and you presenting them perhaps with a different set of ideas?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing I was trying to make sure was there were obviously a lot of things that Larry did really well to be in New York for 9 years, and he had really good relationships with his players and the people around him. So, you know, I wanted to be delicate of, you know, the things that they had done together, but also present the, you know, the options for, you know, there are other tools and other things out there that you guys may not have been, you know, utilizing on a daily basis. So we at least want to expose you to those, and whether it's some of the pitch tracking technology like Rapsodo or TrackMan, or some of the, you know, camera stuff we were using with the high-speed cameras. And I think just trying to give them more tools in their toolbox to, you know, assess how they're doing and, you know, hold them accountable to, you know, be the best version of themselves. And, you know, a lot of the stuff Larry was doing is going to stay in place, and it's just kind of hopefully adding on to the experience they were getting.
You know, obviously, one of the people who is, he's very analytically driven and probably just laps up this stuff is now Gerrit Cole. And yep. I remember, Howie, you don't know this, but Gerrit Cole actually asked Matt, have you ever made a mound visit? And he hadn't. And when Matt made his first mound visit, I put it on the air and we talked all about it, and we went through, we actually analyzed it. If I had had a Rapsodo, I would have done that too. But how much does it help when, all kidding aside, when the guy you just signed, who is the, I think, as good a pitcher in baseball as there is really into this and is already talking, he just got here and he was talking to everybody and what you can learn and wants to learn from everybody. How much does that help that Gerrit Cole is in the middle of this?
Well, that was huge. And one of the things we really wanted to do in the forefront of spring training, you know, 1.0 was, you know, just introduce a lot of the ideas and concepts as a group, and then try and get some of the guys to engage on the topic in kind of like a, you know, locker room group setting. And, you know, we teed it up for, you know, Garrett and Otto and Britt and a lot of these guys who are, you know, the leaders of our group, to talk about how they've kind of used it and how it's helped them. And I think once the players all kind of saw, like, everybody was on the same page that, you know, not everybody has to use this, but there are ways you can use it effectively. So having guys like that champion it, you know, obviously it was huge for, you know, getting out of the gates in a good spot.
We're talking to Matt Blake, the new Yankees pitching coach. And, you know, we've spent a lot of time discussing the adjustments that players are going to have to make just based on the new safety and protocols that MLB has had to devise to deal with playing through this coronavirus period. What about from a coaching standpoint, though? You know, mound visits are precious now, I suppose, as is compared to what they used to be. But have you thought just generally and maybe even more specifically about how your role will have to change due to these protocols?
Yeah, I think that just the way we were operating in spring training, there's going to be, you know, some differences in just like, can you have group meetings anymore? Probably not. So do you have Zoom calls with them? Do you have smaller group meetings? You know, when we're in the bullpen, you know, guys have their own bag of balls. When you go to the mound, you know, you need a mask and stand a certain distance away. So there's definitely little things that kind of like, as we get into the flow of the day, I think we'll realize where the, you know, the nuances of these changes are, and, you know, some of the ones that might have a bigger impact than others. But I mean, this was all uncharted territory for everybody. So I was, you know, joking with Booney that at least just throw the experience card out the window and we're all kind of learning from that.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
You know, here's the interesting, and there were so many. I usually spend spring training. I never bother with the starters and stuff because I know they're going to be there. And I love to talk to a lot of the kids. And I was so impressed with some of these pitchers, Matt, and I know you work between among Clark Schmidt and Michael King and Nick Nelson and the guy they call Yahoo and David Garcia. They're so. Would you like to see these kids up in what spring training 2.0? See what you've got here, because you know my guess is you maybe not going to have like long relievers because people aren't going to go that long, and maybe there'll be more bullpen people. Are you apt to want to look at some of these kids more?
Yeah, I think that obviously we had a vision for what the team was going to look like with a 26-man roster and kind of ironing out who the last couple starter might be or the last bullpen spots. And now you go to the 30-man with a 60-man roster. And I think it kind of opens up a lot of different opportunities for some of these young guys, especially when you start thinking about, before there might be developmental decisions of, keeping Davey and Nick Nelson and Clark in, AA or AAA or wherever they're going to be to get innings. And now there's not that opportunity necessarily. Oh. So you're trying to balance, keeping them in a rhythm to develop, but also there's opportunities for them to maybe help the major league team. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how a lot of teams approach this in terms of just balancing the developmental needs for some of these guys while also trying to win a truncated season.
I'm sure you had enough of an adjustment period, kind of a crash course, if you will, after getting the job, just learning the specifics of all the pitchers in the Yankees organization. But one thing you have to kind of have a handle on now, too, is who you can push and who you have to hold back a little bit when we're into what is prototypically called the sprint of a season. If you have a temptation to go another inning, you have a temptation to maybe go another inning with a starting pitcher. Do you have to sort of mitigate that now against injury risk when everybody's going to be going pedal to the metal?
Yeah, that's one of the things Booney and Mike Harkey, our bullpen coach, we've kind of talked a lot about just in terms of like, okay, what's realistic to ask these guys in spring training to build up to. And we've kind of, crowdsourced a little bit with some of the other teams and kind of how they're approaching it with some of the relationships we have. But, yeah, I think, with where we're at, I think we value our depth. So it's, hopefully we put our guys in the best position to be healthy and get out of the gates in a good spot while still remaining competitive and putting our best players out there. So once we get to spring training and kind of take inventory of, where everybody's at and what they're capable of doing, because everyone was kind of in a different situation. Like, luckily we had, Otto and Garrett here in New York. So Booney and, Radley had at our bullpen catcher could be around him every day. So we have a good handle on that. But, some of these guys like Lowe was down in Nicaragua and sending us video. So you're kind of you're all over the map as far as, what the guys had access to for resources and availability of catchers and hitters and things like that. So I think we'll really need to be, individual in how we build them up in this 21-day period to get to the season and then, kind of take it from there.
When do you decide who is? I know the people that are on the 40-man roster will be here. The people that are coming, particularly from out of this country, and never mind that, from different places. Yeah. How do you guys – have you talked to everybody? You know where everybody is. Pitchers and catchers come, today, I guess. So in a couple of days, you know who's going to be here, and how are you going to assess what they have done?
Yeah. So one of the things we put together during the break was, just a centralized Google document that I would say, pretty much, everyone was filling out to a certain extent, and we were following up Harkey and myself and a couple others just to kind of track where guys were at and kind of what they were doing. And so we have a pretty good read on, 90% of the guys are in a good spot. 10% of them are kind of probably playing a little bit of catch up. So we want to be mindful of putting them out there, but really, it's those first couple of days they get here, seeing them in person, seeing how they're, interacting, how they're working, and then kind of taking the recovery response they're giving us after their first bullpen or first live BP to really be the real gauge of, what's going on and then build from there. But, yeah, I think it'll be interesting that when we get them all in here and, then you really take inventory of how they look.
And when you're taking that inventory, it may require being in separate places. There's only so many mounds at Yankee Stadium. There's only so many mounds in Staten Island or wherever else it is that, some of the other prospects or pitchers will go. So are you going to split things between yourself and Mike, or will there be other eyes and ears who will be evaluating players when they're maybe not on the same site as you?
Yeah, so we'll have obviously Mike Harkey and myself, and then we'll have some of the minor league development staff with us. So Sam Breen, our director of pitching, will be up with us. And I think that's the one nice thing about having the objective metrics to kind of like we have a baseline from spring training of what they looked like when they first got there. And then really as we're getting close to the season, we know what they looked like. So when they come out and, say we put them on TrackMan or Rapsodo, I don't necessarily have to be there to see, how hard they were throwing or what they looked like on video. Now, obviously, the more you can be in person with them, the more you can kind of pick up on some of the nuances. But I think we trust enough of, you know, the relationship we have with Sam and Mike and myself to, you know, value what they're seeing and the feedback they're given, plus the addition of the data and the objective information to say, you know, where a player really is at relative to maybe how he's reporting.
You know, one of the things, and I, you know, I've come late to this party about, and you kind of convinced me about the different things that, when we talked this spring, about the different machines and things. And one of the things that that Jay Happ was telling me was that when you actually can see it, because is the one on the ground, is the Rapsodo the one that you can see
yep.
if your finger needs
yeah,
to be adjusted?
That red box on the ground, and then the camera behind them is the Edutronic.
But Jay Happ said to me, you know, instead of just saying, just try it again and let's do this, you can actually see what you do. And so it becomes, instead of just try it again, you can see doing it and see how it works. And then that becomes muscle memory. So it's just an easier way, instead of saying practice, let's do this. And then we'll practice it. And you can see the results almost immediately, which is different than just saying, you know, we're going to do it this way because the metrics say it.
Yeah, I think that's the balance of it all is, like, if you have experience and you've provided cues to players or you've seen what the best players look like, now all this doing is just providing, like, a framework or an architecture to actually say objectively what happened. You know, we can look at the fingers on the ball in slow motion. We can look at the, you know, pitch trajectory on the machine. So I think we can probably measure what our cues or what our feedback is doing a little bit better, so we're not just guessing. Hopefully we're a little bit more precise with the feedback we're giving when we sit down with the players and talk about some of this stuff.
You know, Matt, having pitched at no more sophisticated level personally than stickball in New York, I've always been amazed. I mean this, I've always been amazed at how a pitching coach can spot what seems to be the most minute mechanical flaw that a pitcher is experiencing in game, go right out to the mound, tell him about it, and many times that flaw is corrected. Have you been satisfied that what you see with the naked eye is confirmed if you look at TrackMan or Rapsodo, or have you found that sometimes there's a conflict there?
Yeah, I think it goes both ways. I think sometimes the data is confirming what you think you saw, and then other times, if it doesn't line up, it allows you to ask maybe more questions about, you know, what you're looking at. And I think it's, you know, hopefully the ultimate truth teller is the objective information, and we can agree upon, you know, that as our baseline for the conversation. And I think that was one of the things that we talked a lot about up front. Like, I'm not going to give you my opinion a lot. If you ask for it, I'll share it. But I think a lot of times it's, you know, what does the information tell us? And then let's agree upon a path forward. And I think that's where we can both look at, you know, a delivery for Jay and look at the ball information and say, what do you think this lines up? Is this the best version of yourself? Have we seen better? If we've seen better, what does that look like? And what does that tell us? So
are you doing that in game too?
To a certain extent, I think more in game is probably like a subtler, conversation. You know, we can track certain things in game. So whether it's the, you know, the way the fastball's moving or the curveball's moving, the delivery is, you know, a little bit subtler in terms of, you know, the flow of the game. Like, you know, there were a couple times this year where, like, maybe, you know, talking about, let's say, you know, Loaisiga comes out and his hands aren't breaking on time and the ball's high in the zone. I think we can talk to him, like, we've had a conversation about getting him in rhythm, so we can fall back on that conversation. But a lot of times you're not trying to bring something, you know, to the first time they've heard about it into a game on the mound in between pitches. Hopefully it's something we've discussed beforehand that you're just reminding them of.
And we're talking to Matt Blake, Yankees pitching coach. Okay, all of this, say everybody gets through spring training. You guys, I probably won't see you, but I'll be somewhere. It's going to be opening night, and you're going to be at National Stadium, and you're going to be the pitching coach, and out comes Gerrit Cole, and out comes Max Scherzer. What do you think after everything that you were going to feel like, first-time pitching coach, there's Cole, there's Scherzer, there's Yankees and Nationals?
I guess there's no better place to start your career, right? two of the best pitchers in the game going at it to bring the game back. I think that'll be pretty exciting.
Matt?
Hey, look at the bright side, Matt. You can go and, you know, take a pitcher out of the game and doesn't work out, or maybe you take a pitcher out of the game when it appears to the naked eye that he's doing well. You ain't going to get booed this year.
That's right. Yeah, it'll be interesting. I said this is a great introductory step to Major League Baseball. We'll play with the highest level without any fans, and then we'll introduce the fans as we go.
Well, somebody in Paris, somebody put like these big giant teddy bears in all these extra seats so that it looks like there's people, so people don't sit next to each other. Mm-hmm. And I heard some team, and I don't know who's doing it, but some team is asking season ticket holders to make giant posters of themselves so that they can put them in their seats so that they'll at least be posters there. But anyway, I think
it's a great idea.
It is a great plan. Well, hopefully I'll be up at the stadium. You can turn around and wave up in the booth since I won't be able to see you live.
But absolutely,
Matt, thank you so much. Good luck. Of course, you know, we wish you guys all the luck in the world. Hope we'll do this,
Matt,
again
all the
sometime.
Best.
Yeah, thank you guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Matt.
You got it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.